to Up Nerds. This is top three, bottom three on The Witcher, which was my pick for Abby to watch. Therefore, I'm not alone. Say hello.
Hello, I'm Abby.
Certainly are. The Witcher. Why did I pick it? We had watched the first season, gosh, forever ago, like back when
it came out.
Yeah, which was 2019. So it's been 5 years. We tend to cycle through the streaming services and just sort of go to whatever, but we've kind of been distracted with stuff in terms of like Star Trek has been near constant. So Paramount Plus was a must for a while. And Disney Plus is one that'll probably always be there just for Simpsons reruns because they're perfect. You throw them on in the background. But it's been a while. Like, it's been since 2019 and the end of the first season that we haven't subscribed to Netflix. And now we're sort of getting caught up. But yeah, it was a show I always wanted to watch the rest of. I have read the books. You have read the first book. We really enjoyed season one. So where did it go from there? Well, let's find it.
Hello, I'm Abby.
The top three episodes are very early on in the series. We started with season one, episode three, in fact, Betrayer Moon, which is the second highest rated episode on IMDb. And it is it was a good episode.
Yeah, it was good.
It was written by Bo DiMaio, who, it should be noted, is a producer of this. We are also into another show that he worked on, produced, and wrote heavily, which is X-Men 97. Talk about two different shows.
I was going to say, for nerds now in the current timeline, Disney Plus is kind of the place to be. So that's going to probably have a home on our just a little streaming box for a little while because we're watching X-Men 97. They've got The Simpsons. They've got Futurama. They've got, you know, all the Star Wars and all the Marvel stuff. So for the up nerds among us, Disney Plus is not a bad value.
Yeah.
But yeah, Netflix, we kind of cycled out there. And I think the last thing we watched on that was The Witcher.
It was.
I remember, and I was expecting this episode, which is the episode where Yennefer Vengeburger.
Yennefer of the Venga Boys.
Yennefer
and the Vengeburger.
Yennefer Vengeburger transforms. Where she.
More than meets the eye.
Yeah, where
out
she.
Destroys the evil forces of the Decepticons. You make me. Just keep talking while you do stuff like this, especially with Die Another Day. Don't know why you stop talking when you make me do it all the time.
I just kind of wanted to see where you were going with it.
That was pretty good. I did well.
It was pretty good.
In any case, yeah. This is the episode
where Yennefer transforms. The Witcher is about magic and...
Sort of.
Yeah, it's very interesting, actually, because it's written by a Polish man, and it's been quite sort of a cult little hit since the first sort of stories were written in the 80s. And at that time in Poland, fantasy, you know, sword and sorcery stuff was really seen as more something for children. So to have a very adult kind of look at it, people really, really, really like that. And it was a hit in its native Poland. And also it's quite intriguing because
producer Basil Baer very interested in The Witcher.
Because so much of our cultural identity is by virtue of history anglicized English, right? Because they conquered the world for a brief but impactful period of time. So for me, it's really cool to see Polish mythology, which in some ways is very similar, but in some ways it's very, very different. I don't think The Witcher is specifically, like, I don't think that there are Witcher. I think that's something that the author invented, and I'm not going to say his name because I'm going to get it wrong.
Andrzej Sapkowski.
Thank you. So I think Witchers are something that he invented, but it is essentially sword and sorcery. The episode that we watched first is an episode that does not introduce us necessarily to either the sword, which is the Witcher, and he's got access to a little bit of magic, but the sorceress is Yennefer. Yennefer is part of a brotherhood of sorcerers, and this is her episode.
Largely, we do get Geralt doing some witching, so...
Yeah.
To set the stage, Geralt is the titular Witcher, and that's not intentional rhyme there. Anyways, Geralt is a Witcher. They hunt monsters for money. What are monsters, you ask? Monsters are... They were created during something called the Convergence some time ago, where the planets became aligned and got really close to each other. This also resulted in magic and all of this other stuff coming to whatever planet we are on, Witchtopia.
It's not Earth, but it does look a heck of a lot like forested Poland.
Witch Earths, yeah. as I believe the planet name. Anyway,
sure.
In any case, Geralt is a Witcher. They are, as children, they undergo a rigorous procedure which kills 70% of them.
Mm-hmm.
And results in sort of the dulling / removal of emotion. They definitely have some level of emotion, though. And Geralt.
So see what I mean by how it's like very Eastern European, you know? It's very like everything is bad. Even the boys, only 30% make it.
The main characters in the entire series, which it revolves around, are Geralt of Rivia, the aforementioned Witcher, Yennefer of Vengabus, the sorceress, Geralt's adopted daughter, Ciri, who is essentially the main person all of it revolves around, and then Triss Marigold, who is also a sorceress with Yennefer's order as well, are sort of your main cast.
Other up-nerd listeners, astute up-nerd listeners, may also recognize The Witcher as the hit game series, particularly The Witcher 3, widely regarded to be one of the great RPGs of all time.
Sold 40 million copies.
Yeah, it sold like 40 million copies. It really, The Witcher, the video game, really put The Witcher and a Polish company, CD Projekt Red, on the map. So it's a very important property for a number of, you know, we've got books, we've got nation, like Poland's on the map now in terms of game design and
don't
fantasy.
Tell Andrzej Sapkowski that, because he does not like their game series and does not consider them an art form and et cetera, et cetera. And it's sort of frustrating because he can rail against it all he wants. But his series probably wouldn't be all that well known in North America without it.
Yeah.
And to be blunt, he is restarting the Witcher books now after they ended fairly definitively, might I add, in 2013. But suddenly he's decided, I need to write more. And I think a lot of that is honestly the book take place before the games. The games are a continuation of them. And I think there's part of him that wants to try to erase that.
He also sold the rights for $5,000.
Yeah, he thought less than that. But anyway, he thought video games, again, were not an art form and it would never take off. He was very, very wrong, because CD Projekt Red pretty much knew what they had from the start. And it was a hit right off the start since 2007. And again, he can try to erase it all he wants. The issue is that, and we've talked about this with other things, in terms of the great overall overarching structure of everything, the games are what's going to be remembered. When people say The Witcher, it's going to be the games. And it's unfortunate for him. It is fortunate for him that, frankly, the games are very, very good. I would put the plot and characterization of The Witcher 3 against the best of media. I think Witcher 3 is the best video game I have ever played, and I don't actually think it's close.
I'm going to actually say, so let's call it the triple threat, right? So literature, the books are very, very good.
Yes.
They are very good. The translation is also extremely good. So like it's, I think I read it all in one shot. It was like page turning good. And predominantly a series of sort of short monster hunting stories, which we'll get into that. I think this episode is going to be a little bit different just by its nature, but bear with me for a second. So we got the triple threat. We got, it's a great book. So you've got the literature sort of cemented. It's now a hit TV show. I remember it was huge when it came out. Not so much now, but again, we'll get into that. And really an incredible series of video games. If you're just sort of starting with The Witcher, I absolutely recommend playing The Witcher game. Start at The Witcher 3, I think, just because 1 and 2, they're still working some stuff out. But The Witcher 3...
It, 1 is being remade, but it's from 07. And to be blunt, it was CD Projekt Red's first effort. And oh boy, does it show.
It was fine. It was just like the combat was cumbersome. Like actually, physically, the act of playing the game was a little bit more than we are willing to put up with as modern gamers. So really just a very, very powerful intellectual property. And that's also reflected in the show. The show, the first season, and I think parts of the second season are very, very true to the books. So, for example, I read The Last Wish, which is a series of short stories, sort of in a frame narrative, but very easy to pick up, very compelling. And those stories that I read the book after I saw the season one of the TV show, but they're the same. So they're very, very faithful and very, very good adaptation, very, very powerful and very compelling adaptation from book to screen, which doesn't always happen. So the three top episodes were, two of them were from, I was actually surprised at them. Two of them were from season two, correct? No, two of them were from season one. And then the season two episode
is the premiere of season two.
Is the premiere. That's right. Okay. Two of those are pretty much like pure having witchy adventures kinds of things. There is a little bit of the frame narrative, but I think in one of them, Geralt's kind of side, like half of the story, the A plot or the B plot, whatever. Geralt's off doing monster slaying things, and I don't want to spoil too much of it, but it's very interesting. And Yennefer of Vengeberg is becoming who she will be.
Because it's a series of short stories, season one is very much out of order. Yennefer's adventures occur roughly 30 years before Geralt's.
Oh, God, that's right.
Geralt's adventures occur roughly 10 years before the introduction of Ciri. And you have all these three plot lines going throughout the first season. They eventually merge in the finale.
Of season one.
Yes, of season one, when Ciri is reunited with Geralt.
And that was the second episode that we watched.
Yes. Season one, episode 8 is the finale of the first season, much more.
Which I was surprised about, frankly. It's a very good episode, but I expected another episode to be on there.
So season one, episode 3, Betrayer Moon, is the introduction really to the Yennefer we would know throughout the rest of the series. But you're right, it also contained some of Geralt's witchy adventures as he discovers the victim of a curse, who is a princess. The stuff like this is fun. And
it really is.
One, episode 8, the finale, has Geralt sort of sidelined with an injury from his witchy adventures while the Brotherhood tries to stop the invasion from the south, which is Nilfgaard, is the kingdom there. So there's a lot of politics going on, it should be noted, around our main characters, namely the southern, whatever you want to call them, continent, Nilfgaard, is taking over the north.
Yeah, it gets a little Game of Thronesy.
they're specifically looking for Ciri, because Ciri is the daughter of the emperor in the south.
It's complicated.
She is also the child of destiny, but she has become Geralt's daughter. This is all explained and shown in season one, and it's done well. And season one ends up being a fair amount of setup combined with the Witcher adventures.
Mm-hmm.
And even our large sort of battle at the end of season one is largely comprised of a little bit of both. It's still set up. It's still showing what Nilfgaard's doing. And we get a little bit of Geralt witching.
Yeah. And then we get to season two, episode one, which is the last of our best of. And there's a little bit of the follow-up of the aftermath of the big battle that ended season one. But the vast majority of that episode is just
more
witchy adventure. Yeah. And it's great.
There is a reason why these episodes are all the top rated ones. And frankly, that is because it is fun. It's fun to see what the Witchers do and what Geralt does. And the show moves away from it as we get into the bottom three. The bottom three are all in season three. And as for sort of the rules, quote unquote, of top three, bottom three, I tried to find an episode that wasn't in the same season, but it's not even close.
You'll look around if there's something on,
If there's something close, I'd prefer to mix it up a little. All of the bottom eight episodes are in season three.
They actually weren't that bad, but they were worse than the top ones.
Yes.
But it's still quite a watchable show. I will probably go back and watch the full Witcher series, because like now I'm invested. But they are very, very different and differently paced, and you can kind of tell
they're very much moving away from the books too.
Yeah.
It's very political.
It's becoming Game of Thrones, essentially. More so than fun Monster Hunter.
Season three, it was episode four, and then the penultimate episode of season three, seven, and then the finale, eight, are bottom three rated ones. To be blunt, it feels as though, and I realize this is loosely based off of the books as well too, but they decided to separate Geralt and Ciri again. And so we're back to Ciri's looking for Geralt, Geralt's looking for Ciri, Yennefer's looking for Ciri, everyone is looking for Ciri. And it feels like we've moved backwards, as well as there's an awful lot of sort of political intrigue. The political intrigue is not tense. It's not as good as something like Andor or Game of Thrones when it was at its height and its peak, or The Expanse, or any of the shows that do the sort of politics stuff in the background. There's always there's supposed to be attention to it. And I watched something like Breaking Bad or Alien, in fact, too, for example, of a movie. But Breaking Bad or Alien, the majority of the film is just characters speaking to one another, but there's an underlying tension to everything. There's always something in the background to it. I never get that feeling here.
I felt like there was a lot of padding in those,
in
those, particularly the last two episodes. So the I can't remember what season three, episode four was.
Season three, episode four.
The plot really
was not great, but it was, that's the one where Geralt and Ciri strike a deal to cross on a ferry to get towards the Brotherhood. Meanwhile, Yennefer is pitching her idea for a big sort of shindig with the Brotherhood to try to draw out all the bad guys, blah, blah, blah.
It all kind of blurred together. I did like the fairy stuff.
Yeah, but again, it's the witching adventures that are fun.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
stuff with Yaskir in this as a gift. He is known as Dandelion to the people who have just played the games. But he is a bard, and he is largely comic relief, but he's fantastic, and he's well-played in this.
Yeah. I like him much more from what I remember of him in season one.
Well, he's allowed to have more fun. Everybody's allowed to have more fun in season one, though.
Yeah.
The politics stuff just sort of drags it down, which is exactly what you don't want. And the other thing that really drags it down is the bottom episode, period, is out of the fire into the frying pan. That was season three, episode seven. It is rated a 4.2, making it the lowest rated anything or published or reviewed on this show, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's basically Siri Takes a Walk.
It was not good.
It was okay. It was just that, like,
it was not
this,
okay.
This could have been an email type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, that it felt like padding.
It's largely to get her in a place where at the finale, she uses the name of a disgraced L to cover up who she is.
Mm.
And it's largely to get her to that place. The problem is you need to find a way to show that is frankly not time-consumingly boring.
Yeah.
And walking around in a desert, ain't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't work well. The discussions with Visions felt cheap. It just felt, I don't know how to describe it. Not cheap in terms of cost, by the way, but more of, it felt like the easy way to do things.
Every film school is going to teach you how to do hallucinations like this, where it's like, oh, she's seeing characters from her past, but they shouldn't be here. They're dead or whatever. And there's quick cuts and people are going, ha, 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 in between the thing. You know, like it's what I would do probably if I was, as an amateur, if I was trying to show that somebody was like having a crazy time.
They usually say show, don't tell. And
yeah,
this is the Star Warsian, no, you should have just told and not showed. Just don't have these scenes. Just find a way around it. There's a number of different ways.
I actually think it's the reverse. I think we're getting far, far more into the tell instead of show. Right? Because Siri's literally narrating out loud her thoughts versus trusting the audience to understand that, like, or trusting the actress to show that, oh, she's, you know, not feeling very good.
But other portions, such as walking through the desert or, I don't know, some of the trials, quote unquote, felt too much show, not enough just tell, or skip forward or intersperse it with other characters. Instead, we get very briefly at the start of the episode, the Brotherhood, and then the rest is essentially just Sandapalooza 2023 or whatever this aired.
Yeah, it's the kind of episode that, even if like The Witcher's your favorite show and you love all the episodes, it's the kind of episode where if you're the type of fan to like rewatch it often, you just kind of skip through the boring parts. It also kind of felt like there was just too much padding. Those two episodes could have been one episode, probably should have been, but I don't know. It's not how I would have done
That's how each of the three episodes feels, as in the each of the season three episodes we watched feel.
Yeah, but we got a little bit of witchy adventure in episode four.
Yeah, very little.
That is clearly very memorable.
But that's still, yeah, I was going to say, that's still the best part of a fairly mediocre episode.
Mm.
And that's sort of the issue there is, again, you could have found a way around it.
The other elephant in the room, and the weird thing too, is you mentioned how there's a cheapness about how they were filming. That's not attributable to cost. But there's also kind of a cheapness about it that is attributable to cost.
Yeah.
Netflix did the old Netflix thing of, hey, we got a hit show. We spent a ton of money on it. And that's also probably partly why we have a hit show. Let's see what we can do with a third of the budget.
Yes.
Just do the same thing. Just, you know, and it's kind of weird, the stuff that they spent money on, like the little title sequence, the Witcher medallion moving and changing every... You know, is that super necessary? It's fine. It's just...
Could we have afforded some sand so that the sand episode makes it seem like there is some actual sand there?
I honestly thought that looked fine.
Yeah, but throw some dirt or something on her so when she falls down and gets up, it looks like there was actually sand, you know?
I thought that was fine.
That there's no lingering effects or anything.
the biggest problem was when I turned to you and I said they're filming in someone's backyard because it looked like they were filming in someone's backyard.
Yeah, that was episode 8.
They moved the production from Poland, which, like, I feel like is the least you could do is film it in the place where it takes place. But I'm sure the Poland arts community could use the injection of cash.
It was actually in Hungary, but anyway.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Season 1 was made in Hungary.
I'm going to reset the day.
To be blunt, there's good reasons to not want to film or be in Hungary, to be fair.
Yeah, that's a fair point, actually.
The swamp to the United Kingdom, combined with the lower budget, I think really kind of hurt it. The biggest issue is just sort of moving away from the books and a lot of the quote-unquote stuff that felt like padding, because it is padding. Combined with that angering the show's star, which was Henry Cavill, plays Geralt in this. He is fantastic.
I did not necessarily like him before.
No, I didn't either. I like him now.
I really enjoy him as Geralt, the titular Witcherlar Geralt. He does a phenomenal job. He is more nerd than you would expect a man who looks the way he does. He is apparently just an enormous, enormous, enormous nerd, like painting Warhammer figures and stuff like that, which is cool. We like that. That's fine. He really pushed to be Geralt, and when the show started coming together, the casting director also agreed, yeah, this guy is the perfect fit for this, and he absolutely is.
Yeah.
He's got the look, he's got the feel of the character, because he's a big, big nerd. He's probably played The Witcher. And he's pulling off, you know, the voice that we would know as Geralt from the games.
He's played the games and he had read the books. He was a huge fan.
Everybody except for one character, I find, is cast extremely, extremely well.
And then they push Henry Cavill out, and he's been replaced with Liam Hemsworth, who is, we have Henry Cavill at home version of Henry Cavill.
Well, it's we have Thor at home version of, because his brother, Chris.
It's a downgrade, to be blunt, and I think it is. And one of the reasons Cavill works so well is he did all of his own stunts. He just loves The Witcher so much. He learned how to sword fight. He did all of his own stunts. So you get around a lot of the magic, quote unquote, you have to put on for a television show, because he's able to do his own stunts. You don't have to cut away. You don't have to replace him with a stunt double and all that fun stuff. All that's gone now.
I think it's too early to say that because we don't know, right?
That
season hasn't come out. We don't know much about Liam Hemsworth. Maybe he does all that stuff. But we're going from somebody who was perfect as Geralt to somebody else.
Who was not the first choice, yeah.
It's always tough.
And season 4 does feature Lawrence Fishburne cast as Regis, which I feel like is really good casting. That makes me happy.
I don't know who that is, but I'm happy that you're happy.
I will point out to you, Anya Chalotra, who plays Yennefer, is fantastic. I was not initially sold on her, but she does a great job in this as well, too.
Mm-hmm. No, everybody is on point.
Yeah.
She's great. Triss is great. Ciri's very good. I preferred her when in season 1. Yaskier, our bard,
Joey
is beautiful in season 1. I was very disappointed by him in season 3.
You just don't like his haircut.
Well, yeah, because it takes me out of it. He went from being like, yeah, this is what we think a medieval bard looks like, to this is a guy at Comic-Con. They put him in a trench coat, like a leather trench coat, and just gave him an emo boy haircut. It's insane to me. It's crazy. I don't know if his... So he comes back... I was expecting to see him in the top episodes, but perhaps that's the strength of the show, that even one of its most memorable characters is not in sort of the top three, which means that, you know, the top three episodes were not the episodes I thought there would be, but I was not unhappy that we watched those episodes. Yeah, he's very much part of the magic. I don't know if being reintroduced to him season 3, episode 4 on the barge, I don't know if that was meant to imply that he hadn't been around for season 2.
He was.
Yeah. So why? Maybe I'll have to go back and watch season 2 to figure out what made him a sad boy. But I don't like him as a sad boy.
While the episodes weren't necessarily what you'd pick, I will say the episodes that are there are good.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely have it more right than, for whatever reason, the critical sort of response is that season 1 was not good. They're wrong.
Very
the fan
wrong.
Response is insanely the other way, which frankly I agree much more with. Season 2 is apparently quite good and the fans still enjoy it. So that I'm interested in. I definitely want to go back and watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe rewatch season 1 as well, fill in the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
But season 3, critically, they seem to like more than season 1, slightly less than season 2. And the fans are, frankly, deservedly all over season 3. It's not great. It's weird because it suddenly doesn't adhere to a lot of their rules, quote unquote, that the producers put forth, which was that nothing from the games would be carried into it. Well, they have a character who is in the 3rd game, who is reasonably significant in it, appear in season 3 and throughout season 3, who only gets briefly mentioned in the books. So no, they're sort of moving stuff around and they are taking things from the games, obviously.
Well, and now you're also saying that Andre Sikowski,
yes,
is writing more books. So are we in a George R.R. Martin situation now where we did what we could from the books, seasons 1 and 2, which were the critics are wrong. I can't believe I'm siding with the people on this one.
Yeah, he's got about 5 more books to adapt. So in theory, roughly 5 more seasons.
So what are we doing?
The question is going to be a fairly definitive ending that the games did a great job of working around and explaining how what happened did take place, but finding ways for it to not be the end of everyone's story.
I think it's honestly as it's money talks. And for a long time, Game of Thrones spoke the loudest. And even, you know, I can't remember when Game of Thrones sort of went off the air with that bad season or whatever.
There was a lot more than one bad season. No, it really, yeah, anyway, it really
It was fine.
Dropped.
It was a critical and commercial darling and a hit up until then. But even so, you still have a whole bunch of merch with Game of Thrones stuff on it. Like, people are still kind of wild for it.
Yeah.
I think they were looking at what can we, like, can we do Game of Thrones within the budget that we have, with what we have? The season 1 episodes, I remember being extremely well produced, and they put a lot of money into it. They didn't necessarily need to. I think that season 3 is far more economical and interesting in terms of, or maybe it was the season 2 episode, but you remember that one time where the sorceress is in there and she's trying to get information from somebody, and all she does is she puts her hands on the guy's, she's interrogating head.
Season 2, episode 1, by the way. So that's still not season 3 anyway.
But then it's just acting, right? So
yes.
We see he's having a freak out and we don't have to have, you know, the movie made in the computer to show that he's losing his mind. It's brilliant. It's very effective. Costs nothing.
Yeah.
The monster of the week stuff costs a lot. I could see that being a reason to look for something else. And then what do we have? We have this sort of intrigue, but I don't know.
Can we expand upon it enough and stretch it out enough to make that more of the season versus what specifically happened in the books? That's sort of the feeling. The answer is probably not, apparently.
The critics seem to like it.
Yes. Unfortunately, the critics don't watch it on Netflix and give them money and ratings.
Well, that's the thing. Or, you know, buy merch or whatever. So, yeah, it's very intriguing.
The show, in terms of public consciousness, really dropped off, and the viewership dropped off fairly sharply from season 1 onwards. And then season 3 just sort of fell off the radar. I'm curious to see what happens when it comes back with season four.
Yeah. To be fair, there was a COVID in there. So I hadn't realized that, in fact, it has not been like 3 or 4 years. It's been 5 years, essentially.
It is going to get a heck of a boost from production on The Witcher 4 will fully go underway.
The video game.
Next year, yes. And I think that'll result in a lot because a CD Projekt just fresh off of Cyberpunk 2077, which is another series from them that resulted in a number of adaptations on Netflix, which those were very well received throughout their run. So CD Projekt probably going to do or try roughly the same with Witcher 4 as well. So I also wonder if that's part of the author's intent is to try to get ahead of it. But again, you know, uphill battle. You're talking about a game that's going to be a sequel to one of the highest selling games of all time and one of the highest rated games of all time. So
widely regarded to be one of the greatest games of all time
by GameSpy and
the old Netflix curse, right? Like, you're doing great. Now do it with half of the resources and in less time. You know, like, I don't understand Netflix's.
They've all kind of done it, which is really odd because we had AMC with The Walking Dead, almost the exact same sort of scenario. They started out well and just continuously slashed budgets until there was just kind of nothing left. It's very odd, and we've been talking about this and hinting at it. It's especially happening in the video game industry where everybody wants everything to be this gigantic world-breaking hit, but they want you to do it at 1/10 of the budget you would actually need to make something half decent.
Yep.
And right now the game industry is collapsing in on itself because of that. And eventually this is going to happen with film and television. They are very much headed down the exact same path. And what's interesting to me is, unlike the game industry, there's nothing to pick up the slack. The games industry has, it has never been easier to make an exceptional video game than it is right now through independent companies and independents. It just, indie games have never been bigger and better than they have been right now. And there are articles regarding those too, that is drying up a little, but it's never going to cease to exist. A lot of these smaller games and people have been able to be successful enough to continue to be self-funded pretty much indefinitely. But then you go to movies and TV, that doesn't exist because the distribution sources and that sort of thing don't really exist for it the same way James has been able to find a way to pick up these smaller people, smaller companies, smaller groups.
Yeah. How do you make an independent TV show, right? I guess that's YouTube, but there's a wide berth.
But YouTube is collapsing on itself as well, too. You look at how many creators have had to leave it and find different sources of income.
Yeah.
You know, what is the solution here? And music went through this for the longest time. And there's still not necessarily a definitive answer.
We also have thoughts on music, the music industry as well. No, I mean, out of Poland, which is not, you know, what you think of when you sort of think of like intellectual property powerhouses, right? Out of Poland, hit book, hard enough already. Hit video game, also hard enough already. And then hit TV show, triple threat.
Well, and the third thing too, because of that hit video game, gigantic video game publisher, to the point that they own their own platform in GOG, CD Projekt has risen to be media empire all on their own as well, with now two games that have sold just an insane amount of copies and just continue to sell as well too.
Yeah, they are not quite a competitor to Steam by Valve, who...
But they're in a different market?
Yeah. No, they are. They are, but it's pretty close. You're right. I mean, yeah, that game really changed the map of video gaming as an industry in a lot of ways.
The Witcher TV show, in a lot of ways, kind of changed the map in terms of the way television's regarded and done on the streaming services. Because remember, it was one of the first really high budget streamer made series / franchises. And I remember how it was being marketed and pushed and everything in the lead up to its debut in 2019. And it did well. And then it just kind of fell off the map, like we talked about. And yeah, COVID definitely had something to do with that. It delayed the filming a number of times of season two and production of it. Season one was very good. It is definitely worth watching. Definitely check it out. The books are very entertaining as well, too. And the games are fantastic.
Yeah.
Witcher 1, the first game in the game series, is being redone on a new engine to kind of update it and make it less janky, we will say, and probably update some of the very dated elements to it, including the portrayal of some of the female characters initially and stuff like that, that CD Projekt grew out of. And some of the game mechanics they grew out of using as well, too. So all of it is worth consuming if you are interested in fantasy. And even if you're not, I'm not a huge fantasy guy, but I really like this series. I liked the books. I adored the games, in particular the third one. And the show was very good.
Yep. So give it a watch. And even the third season, it's fine just to have on sort of like, you know, we were doing something else mostly. Like, I was sewing or something like that while I was, versus season one and season two, I'm actually invested in looking at the screen type of thing.
Do you have a pick for the next top three, bottom three? Keep your mind. So our next episode is back to fine. You pick, which will be the time traveling epic Caddyshack. No, the time. Sorry.
Shoes.
Which will be Groundhog Day, in continuing sort of our time jump / living the day over again theme that was started in Edge of Tomorrow, but very different film this time around, one would assume. We will see. I haven't seen it, by the way, since seeing it on VHS, if that tells you how long it's been. A VHS, to a younger listeners, was a format and way we would watch things. I'm currently joined in studio by Abby, who is looking at the DVD show, which I guess is code for I did not do my homework and come up with a pick for the next episode. So in the meantime, I will list our social media endeavors. If you want to reach UpNerd, the best way is probably email upnerdpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, UpNerdPodcast. You can find us on Twitter or X @UpNerdPodcasts. And you can find us on Blue Sky, upnerdpodcasts.bksy, I think it is. Again, they really need to change it to .bluesky or something like that so that people like me can remember it at the end of our shows. Hi, this is presently editing the podcast, The Uneven Flow. The Uneven Flow from the future. In any case, Abby could not decide what to choose. She initially chose Downtown Abbey for whatever reason, which is not even in our DVD and Blu-ray collection. But in the end, she called an audible while away with her parents, which is why I'm recording this, and eventually decided on Farscape, a show that we also do not own, but is readily available in a number of free services for streaming and a very important science fiction show. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. Now back to the end of the podcast, in which I believe I had stated Every listener is appreciated. Please spread the word of our show. We have a small audience that we hope to grow and continue on doing this with. Feel free to reach out, comment, like, subscribe, leave a review, any of the above, and most importantly, have a good day and take care of each other.